Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum. Celebrate the opening of I Saw It, Francisco de Goya Printmaker, with an evening of live music, art making, live model drawing, tours, and more. Saturday, April 20th from 4 to 6:30 p.m. Info at nortonsimon.org.
I'm Julia Paskin. Join me as I talk with NPR's Sarah McCammon about her new book, The Ex-Evangelicals, Loving, Living, and Leaving the White Evangelical Church. That's April 25th at the Crawford. Tickets at las.com/events.
Good morning. It's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. In case you wonder how we end up with the challenges or dollar-for-dollar matches that we do, we'll find out all about that in the second hour of Air Talk, as we have the third in our multi-part KPCC Backbone series. This is where we bring in people who are our colleagues here at KPCC who work in areas other than content. They're essential employees. What they do doesn't just support, but in fact makes possible what we do at KPCC. Today's focus on our development department, on fundraising, and we're going to talk about what goes on behind the scenes in putting on the on-air as well as major gifts and other behind-the-scenes aspect of this. That's in our second hour here on Air Talk. I've learned a lot from these, and these are people I've worked with for years. So I have to say it's been very gratifying to be able to have these conversations, as it's been to talk with our medical experts on a daily basis for the past 16 months about COVID-19 and vaccinations. My pleasure to welcome back a gentleman who's been so incredibly helpful and so giving of his time, Dr. Dean Blumberg, Professor of Medicine and Chief of Pediatric Infectious Diseases at UC Davis Children's Hospital. Dr. Blumberg, a very good Wednesday morning to you.
Good morning to you, Larry. And I'd like to thank you, too, for, you know, facilitating getting the word out about what's really important and cutting through all the information that's out there, because there is so much, to try to focus on what's really important.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And you and our core of medical experts have just have opened us up to all the complexities of this and the evolution of our understanding about COVID-19. Let's talk a bit about what's happening in areas where we are seeing some reemergence of COVID-19. There is a region of China that continues with low vaccination rates, that is dealing with one of the variants there, where they're seeing hospitalizations go up, and they are reinstituting some severe measures to try and control the spread of it. And we've seen some other parts of the globe, again, where vaccination rates are low, where we see COVID cases going up. So what's the progress on getting folks vaccinated in those places?
Well, you know, the U.S. has done a really good job. The U.K. has done a really good job in terms of vaccination. And the rest of the world is really not quite as far along with that. And so there are significant numbers of people who are vulnerable to infection, who aren't immune due to vaccination or previous infection. And so I think we're going to continue to see these localized outbreaks in this country and worldwide until we do get a higher level of immunity.
Well, and in the southern United States, we have four states, I think, that are looking at 20% or so a population vaccinated. And those states, there's concern that as the temperatures heat up, people go indoors to get relief from the heat with the air conditioning, that could lead to some serious increases in hospitalizations there. You think that's a valid concern?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, we normally think of summer as a time to be outside because the temperature warms up in California and it's not as cold. But in other areas, it does drive people inside for the air conditioning. And we know that 90% of the transmission has taken place indoors versus outdoors. So that is a concern. And I would say it's still a concern, not just at a statewide level, but even in California also, because we do have areas that do have relatively low rates of immunization. And so any of the communities that do have lower levels of immunity, if a case is introduced, you can have sustained transmission.
I was mentioning China, where we have seen in the city of Guangzhou an increase in COVID cases there, low vaccination rates. And officials there are blaming it on the Delta variant, which was first identified in India. And the question is whether that is a more virulent strain, whether that variant, once it gets into a population, is more likely to jump from person to person. Do we have enough evidence to make that conclusion?
I think we have pretty good evidence that it's more transmissible than previous strains. So compared to the original strain, it's almost twice as transmissible as the original strain. It's more transmissible than the Alpha strain, the one that's reported in the UK. In terms of severity, I don't think we have enough information on that yet. There are some reports that it's associated with more blood clots. We know that getting COVID does cause abnormalities with the coagulation system, and that people with COVID are more prone to blood clots, some of which may be severe. And with the Delta strain from India, at least, they've been reporting more blood clots that have resulted in severe complications and even death. But we don't have good numbers on that yet.
If you have questions for Dr. Blumberg, UC Davis Children's Hospital, we're at 866-893-KPCC, 866-893-5722. Tweet at AirTalk, post on the AirTalk Facebook page, or post on the AirTalk page itself at kpecc.org. Multiple ways to connect with us with your questions. Dr. Blumberg, what are your thoughts about newborns? We've gotten a number of questions from parents who were expectant or recently had a baby. What sorts of precautions over family visits, things like that, if any, should be taken?
Well, newborns are not at high risk for severe disease. We know that. But anybody can have severe disease. And newborns, of course, do have an immature immune system. And so what I've been recommending is that if you want to hold the baby, you got to be vaccinated. And a lot of parents have that rule. And that does seem to be a motivator for people to get vaccinated, because, of course, people love to see new babies, new additions to the family. And so that's what I've been recommending.
All right. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Dr. Marty Makary, who's been a guest with us on AirTalk and who writes for the Wall Street Journal about COVID-19, has a piece that was published yesterday claiming that some 80 to 85% of American adults are actually immune to COVID-19 at this point. Says more than 64% have received at least one dose of a vaccine. And of those who haven't, roughly half have natural immunity from prior infection, most of which was never detected through testing or through symptoms. And he makes the point that the scientific evidence from a number of different studies shows that natural immunity from those exposed to COVID is effective and durable. So his argument is essentially, and I don't think he actually says this directly in words, but his argument essentially is we are at what is the definition of herd immunity, which doesn't mean eradication, that people aren't getting sick, can't pass it on, but that the sort of widespread COVID-19 outbreaks are not going to happen. What do you think of Dr. Makary's analysis?
You know, I hope he's correct. There's a lot of assumptions based on that analysis. And so one of those is the level of previous infection in the U.S. And we just don't have reliable numbers on that. We have some estimates from looking at people who donate blood and looking at their antibody status and looking at leftover blood from people who've had blood tests for other reasons, like checking their cholesterol or another reason. But what we don't have is good widespread research looking at a representative sample of the population to see the level of immunity. So that's one thing that's really missing. The other thing that's missing is we just don't know how long people are going to be immune after infection or after immunization. We don't have a level of antibody that we can say if you're over that level, you're not going to get infected. We do know from from experience with previous coronaviruses, from the routine ones that cause the common cold, that infection results in immunity for about 3 or 4 months. But we also know that for more severe disease with coronavirus, such as the original SARS, that infection results in immunity that probably lasts for years. So we just don't know. We have more questions than answers right now, but I hope we're at a level where we do have more limited transmission.
I need to break in a minute, but just briefly, is it realistic that we would be able to find a particular antibody threshold that would tell us about the degree of lasting immunity?
Yeah, it's certainly possible because we have that for other diseases. So we know that we have that for hepatitis B, for tetanus, for diphtheria, for varicella. So for many other diseases, we do have levels of immunity that we know that are cutoffs for protection.
All right. We'll continue with Dr. Dean Blumberg, UC Davis Children's Hospital, where he's Dean of Infectious Medicine, joining a pediatric infectious diseases and professor of medicine. We're taking your calls, your questions for him at 866-893-KPECC. Tweet at AirTalk, post on our Facebook page, or post on the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. We'll continue with Dr. Blumberg coming up in just a moment and talk about the June 15th state reopening date.
Support comes from Ciclavia, catalyzing vibrant public spaces, active transportation, and good health through car-free streets. Ciclavia promotes respect and infrastructure for bike and pedestrian-friendly public spaces. Enjoy these pop-up parks for the day in your favorite people-powered way. Jogging, biking, skating, strolling, or simply spectating. Free and open to all, Ciclavia Sundays generate miles of smiles in neighborhoods all over L.A. Details at www.ciclavia.org.